We're going to move to hearing from God's Word. And Alana is going to read for us today. So if you want to start turning to 2 Peter 3.
Okay, I am reading from NIV, 2 Peter 3, the day of the Lord. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Saviour through your prophets. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming?" He promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking of them in these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Let us pray. We just thank you, Lord, that this morning we can celebrate Palm Sunday, that time when you came into Jerusalem and were welcomed by the crowds. We thank you too that we can look forward to your second coming. And so lead and guide us this morning as we look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and as we see what you have to say to us there about the last days. In Jesus' name, amen. So this will be our last session on 2 Peter. Trent's entitled the message Christian Hope, which it certainly is. The NIV Bible, which I have, called it the Day of the Lord. So it's certainly that as well. As we get into this chapter, the key word that I think we can think of is the word know. That's K-N-O-W, not N-O. And there are 3 points there that I think we can divide the chapter into. The first is knowing the facts, and then knowing our God, and thirdly, knowing the challenge. So firstly, knowing the facts. we've already learnt a bit about wholesome living already, and that's the way Peter introduces the book, the chapter of 2 Peter here. So he introduces it well by saying, "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking." So he's clear about the objective of his messages, to stimulate you, and that of course includes us as well as we read his book, stimulate us to wholesome thinking. It's an objective that we need to take seriously today as well. Surely we're bombarded just as much, or maybe even more now, left and centre, regarding the temptations for unwholesome living, unwholesome thinking. So there are so many sources today that encourage us to go in the direction of unwholesome thinking. When we look at things that we have available to us, movies, TV, the internet, social media, and magazines. So this call of Peter to stimulate wholesome thinking is so relevant to us today too. The second fact, fact number two, refresh your minds, refresh our minds and lives with Scripture. The second verse there in chapter 3 goes like this. "I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Saviour through your apostles." So we are much better off than they were back then, of course. They only had the words of the prophets, and they only had orally, I suppose, the words of Jesus at that time. So we have much more than just the Old Testament and the words of the apostles, because we have the whole of Scripture that we need to recall. How important it is for us to read his word regularly. It takes some discipline. I was encouraged to read the Bible right when I was an 8-year-old. I guess Mum and Dad took us along to church, and way back then at the church we were going to, Scripture Union were very active, and they even had a little card which you could fold up, but that card contained readings for every day of the year. So way back then I was encouraged very much to read the Bible, and actually I've been reading the Scripture Union way for the next 70 years or so. So it is important that we study the Scriptures and we know what God is saying to us there. So in fact, one, Peter exhorts us to wholesome living, but now he gives good guidance in fact two, to refresh our minds with Scripture. There are many places in Scripture exhorting us to wholesome thinking. Many of the teachings of Jesus and Paul. So Jesus in Mark 7 outlines the differences between the clean and the unclean. Also Paul in chapter 12, in his letter to the Romans, Paul urges not only wholesome thinking, but wholesome living. In verse 1 in chapter 12 of Romans, Paul then says, "Therefore, I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And Paul also, in chapter 4 to the Philippians, suggests a method of wholesome thinking. "Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things." So refresh your minds and lives with Scripture. Fact number three is that opposition will certainly come. Peter spoke of scoffers to the people that he was writing to. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming that he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." So the scoffers were concerned that Jesus had not come again. And I guess if those scoffers were alive today, what would they think? 2,000 years on and he still hasn't come. So scoffers or skeptics will come as frequently today as they did in Peter's time. So Peter is saying that folk will laugh at you because you say that Jesus is coming again. But what has happened? Nothing in their eyes. To Peter's readers, nothing had happened. The prophets had told about the coming Messiah. The prophet, the apostles, said too that he is coming again. But things go on as they've always done. Nothing has changed. So scoffers have a go at us today. I don't know if you've experienced scoffers because of your stand for Jesus. One personal example that I can give is that I shared an office at the uni with a guy, actually a Chinese guy, and he was very sympathetic to my stand as a Christian, even though he was an atheist, and we had some good discussions about Christian things. But one day came when he must have mentioned this in the tea room. Now, I wasn't there at the tea room today, and the other people that he was talking to thought quite differently. And he reported back to me that their thinking was quite different to his thinking, and that they were rather rubbishing and scornful and even scoffed at the ideas that I had, particularly regarding creation, which became an important part of the science that we were involved with at the time. That they were not understanding that creation could come about from an intelligent being that I called God. But unfortunately, because of COVID, I wasn't able to go back and defend myself. No doubt you too can relate to people who have questioned your beliefs, who have scoffed at your beliefs. I'm sure you've experienced things like that. Now let's turn to the second point, knowing our God. Firstly, knowing God the Creator came out of verse 5. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. So Peter's plea is that his readers intentionally forgot and that they should actually get their facts straight. So God's word actually created the earth, and it says there, formed out of water and by water. The phrase was a little bit confusing to me at first, but if you look back at Genesis chapter 1, you see that water existed first, and then God created the land out of the water, and later on we read that he kept that earth watered by the water above the earth, by what we know as rain. Second point of knowing God is knowing God the judge. So in verse 6, by these waters also the world at that time was deluged and destroyed. So it was flooded. So Peter here is talking about past history, Noah's flood. And Noah was even mentioned, I think, back in chapter 2 of 2 Peter. But verse 7 is not talking about the past, it's talking about the future. by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. So there's a very real warning for us there. So the deluge of verse 6 refers to Noah, but verse 7 is prophetic, indicating that there will be a second judgment. Noah's flood was judging so many of the people, except for Noah's family at the time. And there's going to be another judgment, which verse 7 talks about, the second judgment, this time by fire and the destruction of the ungodly. Hence we know that God is a just God. He created the world by his word, and he earmarked the destruction of the ungodly, as he had done previously in Noah's time. If we move on to verses 8 and 9, we see the theme, knowing God's timing. Verse 8, do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to have repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. So God is eternal. He doesn't exist in our time frame, the human time that we are used to. His coming, well, we're 2,000 years on now, may seem slow to us, but it's all part of God's timing, because he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Maybe that's you personally. I don't know where you all stand with God, but have you come to Jesus? Don't delay, because Peter says there, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The earth will be destroyed by fire, as also indicated in other parts of Scripture. We see that in Revelation 8 and in Revelation 20 and also in Malachi. Let's now turn to the third point, knowing the challenge, because there's very much of a challenge in this chapter of 2 Peter. Verses 11 and 12. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives, as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. So there are challenges that come from this verse. The first challenge is, what kind of people ought we to be? The answer is clear. If we go to verse 11, we ought to live holy and godly lives. And then verse 14, make every effort to be spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. There's a third answer, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, in verse 18. So that is the type of people that we ought to be. The second challenge can be, what have we to look forward to? This term's used actually three times in these verses. I think we had it in verse 12. Let's go on to verse 13 now. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote with you with the wisdom that God gave him. So, as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, verse 5, how do we speed its coming? Yes, we know that God works in his own time frame, so maybe there's not much we can do, but then again, there is. What we need to do is what he's exhorted us to do. Live holy and godly lives, verse 11. Be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him, verse 14. And then in verse 17, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Look forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. There was a prophecy made in Isaiah 65 and verse 17, but also we read more in Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. The old order of things has passed away. So John's words in Revelation there are very appropriate to us looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. Also, we look forward to the Lord's patience, salvation, successfully being on our guard and continually growing, as the verse says there, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So the Lord's patience over all that time means salvation, salvation for us. Does it mean the same for you? I know many of you have claimed that salvation that Jesus offers. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So the Lord, if the Lord's patience does not yet mean salvation for you, don't let this moment pass without entering into such a relationship with God. And if you do feel you need to do this, see one of us after this service. Let's look then at challenge number 3, be discerning. We'll look at verse 16. He, that is Paul, who was mentioned in the previous verse, writes the same way in all his letters, speaking to them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. So the challenge there is to beware of distortions from sources that are not true to the scriptures' gospel as we see it. There's a fourth challenge there, be on your guard. And coupled with that is the word grow. Verse 17, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawlessness and fall from your secure position. In verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. On that day, about the destruction of the heavens, fire and the elements will melt in the heat. So, be discerning so that you may not be carried away by the error and of the lawlessness, and that you might fall from your secure position. I'd like to conclude just with a story which comes from C.S. Lewis's Narnia series, the last of his seven Narnia series books, is called The Last Battle. And I find it most interesting reading in relation to 2 Peter chapter 3. It begins with an ape and a donkey, and there beside a pool with a waterfall, and down from the waterfall comes something which the ape gets the donkey to go in and fetch from the pool, and it turns out to be a lion skin. And the ape then immediately has some ideas. If you're familiar with Narnia, you will know of Aslan, who is the lion, more or less the king of Narnia, you might say, and he has quite a following, but not everyone goes along with Aslan. Anyway, the ape had some wicked things in his mind, and he got the donkey to put this lion skin on and pretend that he was a lion. And he thought then that he could use this. The ape thought he could use this by getting followers, thinking that he had Aslan, the good lion, there with him. And so it goes on. He duped many people into thinking that. And he could not, because the lion skin didn't fit perfectly on the donkey, of course, he used to keep him, the donkey, in a hut, and he would only display him at night time when people couldn't really see that he wasn't really a true lion. Anyway, there developed quite a battle between the supporters of the false lion and the followers of Aslan, the real lion, the real image of God, which is what C.S. Lewis was aiming to get across to everyone in his stories in Narnia. So the battle took place, and it certainly looked as if the goodies were winning, and it was night time. And at that stage, Aslan appeared, the good lion appeared, and then he separated more or less the good from the bad. And a bit like the parable that we read in the Gospels about Jesus separating the sheep from the goats. Anyway, he sent the people who were following the false lion to the left, but those who were following him, he sent to the right. And to the left, there was just blackness and darkness and everything that relates to destruction. But those who followed him and went to the right, there was brilliant sunshine and brilliant countryside, and they are able to go deeper, further and further into this beauty. So of course the false lions, very much like false prophets that we might see today. And I think it was last week Trent was talking about false prophets. And the followers of Aslan went into that beautiful new land. And so that, I think, is the message of 2 Peter chapter 3. What are we looking forward to? That's a question that we can ask ourselves. Let us pray. We do this. Thank you, Lord, for the challenge that we get from your word. We thank you for the challenge that we get from 2 Peter chapter 3. We thank you, Lord, that you are coming again. You are going to separate the sheep and the goats, as Jesus said in that parable. So, Lord, we just pray that you will help us to do those things which will encourage you to be fully accepting of us. We thank you, Lord, that you are creator, that you are judge as well. We thank you that your time is not our time. And just give us patience to accept that, Lord, we pray, as we move on with you. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a song now, or at least the music team's going to lead us, and you're going to sing, called Come Jesus Come. We had it last week, actually, for those who were here last week. And I wonder if you think carefully about the words that you do sing. Come, Jesus, come. Do we really want Jesus to come? One of the lines says, come today. Are we ready for him to come today? I wonder whether I am, for example, whether there are a few things that I need to get in order before I can really expect him to come. Some people, I guess, prefer the challenge of hardships that come our way. And others accept what Peter says here, that the timing of God is different. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. So let's just join in worship.
Yeah. Go from here thanking God and leading us in this Palm Sunday into Holy Week. Have a happy and a holy week, and look forward to seeing you on Good Friday. And be reminded of 2 Peter 3. Let's share what we've learned with one another as we go to morning tea, and continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. Amen.